Just as in the process of evolution there was a time when there was only body and life and not mind at all. We know the story of evolution, that first only there was matter, then small organisms began to develop, life organisms, amoeba and others, and then we found that bigger and bigger animals of the sea began to develop. And then such animals who could live both in the sea and the land, these developed. So how the mind, human mind developed? And enlarged its sweep in a large human population. It's a long story. Similarly, there has to be a new instrumentation developed and a new power which has to perfect itself and establish itself as an instrument of the race itself, not only for one individual or two individuals. So Sri Aurobindo had said, this is the thing that has to be done. Spiritual man has come, but not the supramental being. That was the end of the first chapter, first paragraph, and this is elucidated in the next paragraph. Now we shall dwell upon this second paragraph in a little detail. What is the difference between moksha and this aim of the supramental transformation? Now this is very important, because it is normally believed that moksha is the end of all our endeavor. We are all here on this earth to attain to moksha. This has become such a widespread belief all over that if you want to say that there is a still higher aim, then we must know what exactly is moksha and what is this higher aim which is being proposed. First of all, we have to ask two questions. In the process of liberation or moksha, what acute experience that one has is of one's bondage, bandhan. An acute experience of bondage is a starting point of looking for moksha. As it is said in all our great books, mumukshatva, the desire for liberation, is the starting point of all your spiritual endeavor. And mumukshatva, the desire for liberation, is acutely felt when you feel yourself really bound. Many human beings do not feel themselves bound at all. The sense of bondage is not present. Everybody feels quite normal and goes on doing one's work in the world. It is only at a certain point of life that one really begins to feel a sense of bondage. In fact, this is what we had spoken of last time. We had said that every human being at a certain stage of life is confronted with a situation. And begins to feel that he and the situation are at two poles. He on one pole and the situation on the other pole. At a given time, a human being feels that he should deal with the situation. Either he should expand the field of the situation, make it more rich, more luxurious, or he should alter the situation, he should change the circumstances, he should modify the situation, or totally give up the situation and take another situation altogether. And at a rare point, one feels that one should come out of any situation whatsoever. Not only going out of one situation to the other, but coming out of any situation whatsoever. Now the situation in which we find ourselves at any time is dangerous. Please come. The situation in which one finds oneself is in technical terms called the product of prakriti. It is only a technical term. Any situation in which we find ourselves can be termed as a product of prakriti. The word prakriti means, kri means to work, to act. Pra means forth, to act forth. That which has a tendency to act forth produces so many products. So there is one universal energy which is constantly at work and produces all the products that we find in the world. So the general term that is given for the whole universal movement is called prakriti. And for each individual, the situation in which he finds himself is a product of this vast universal action that is going on.